Welcome to the Wellsteading Podcast. This is episode 445. Today is March 23rd, 2024. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Hey, today I got a quick episode for you, but it's a good one. They're all good, so I'm being redundant there. I've entitled this episode, Thinking Beyond Money Market Funds, because that's exactly what I'm doing right now with my own portfolio. So let me explain to you what my rationale is and why I'm thinking about moving beyond money market funds. For the last year, and almost from the day that the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates, there were pundits and experts that were telling us that rate cuts were just around the corner. Well, that hasn't been the case. Back almost 2 years ago to the day was when the Federal Reserve started getting serious about not only the imminent effects of inflation, but getting serious and changing the whole interest rate regime, which for the last, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 years has been a suppressed interest rate regime. Now, those days are over, and they started about 2 years ago when the Fed began raising rates at a speed and a fashion that we hadn't seen since pretty much going back to the late 1970s. And because that change in direction, that new paradigm, is so hard for people to get their heads around, and because most people on Wall Street have spent their entire careers in either a low or a lower interest rate environment, they really just couldn't get their minds wrapped around the fact that interest rates are moving up. And although we don't know how high they're going to go, they obviously couldn't be at zero or near zero for very long. Even, you know, the Bank of Japan, just this past week, has finally gone beyond long-term interest rates that were negative. And I think it's been somewhere between 6 and 8 years that they've held rates below zero. I mean, it's almost unfathomable to think about, but that's the environment that we've been in pretty much since the great financial crisis of 2008. And even beyond that, for the last 40 years or so, interest rates have come down since the peaks that they hit in the early 1980s. And that's why you have these mantras on Wall Street about, you know, bonds being safe or bonds being where you want to be invested as you get older because it's less risk. Well, if you've owned bonds over the last 3 years, you know that that's not true. In 2022, bonds lost a larger percent of their value than the S&P 500 did. And what that has meant is that over the last year or so, you've been able to have an absolutely risk-free, positive rate of return on your money by just sitting in money market funds. And it's allowing me to be positioned to move on to where I think the next phase of the economy is. And that's why now I am thinking about moving beyond money market funds. Let's step back here a minute and again, look at this interest rate environment. For at least the last year, people have been calling for a Fed pause to raising interest rates, if not an actual cut. And in fact, if you just go back 5 or 6 months ago, virtually everyone was predicting that rates would have been cut by this month. And you know what? Last week when the FOMC met, they didn't cut rates. They didn't only not cut rates. Most people are now thinking that rates won't get cut until June or possibly even July. And all those people that, you know, again, just 5 or 6 months ago were saying that absolutely 100% there were going to be at least 6 or more rate cuts this year. Well, now the consensus is down to only 3, which is what the Fed actually said 6 months ago. And even with that, there's a lot of people thinking, well, maybe it's only going to be 2, possibly only 1. A lot of the real thought now is that the Federal Reserve doesn't start cutting rates until the first one would come in July, and then they pause until the election, and then after the election in early November, you know, the Fed will meet sometime mid towards the end of November, they could cut again, and then if they need to, they could cut additionally in December. So those 3 rate cuts would be July, November, and December. And hey, that's not a bad plan because depending upon the mix of psychopathic politicians that take over the new regime after November, we may need 2 or more rate cuts. You know, we'll have to see. Yeah, but I'm digressing here. Bottom line, though, I want to take this time over these next 3 months to begin positioning myself to moving to lower rates of money market funds. Because even if they do make that cut in July, it's probably only going to be 25 basis points. That means instead of getting 5% or more in money market fund rates, you'll get, 4.75. That's still a pretty darn good rate adjusted return, assuming inflation keeps decelerating at the rate that it's going at now. And it also gives you time to allow the dust to settle so we can see what are going to be the best investment opportunities for the next, say, 3 to 5 years. I think you want to be very retrospective in that, because the next 3 to 5 years, I think, are going to be quite different from what we've seen over the last 10 to 20 years. And this change that's been taking place as we've been post-pandemic is one of the reasons that I have moved so cautiously, because we are entering a different era. And personally, I think it's going to be very good for investing if you move into the right positions. And a key to moving into those right areas will be understanding how things are shifting and how they are different from the way they've been since the turn of the century. As I've already mentioned, we're not in an era of declining or near zero interest rates. I think that long-term rates are pretty much going to stay about where they are right now, at a minimum. Unless the economy goes into a huge tailspin, then there really isn't a reason to cut long-term rates, because they're about where they should be. In fact, they're on the low end of where they should be. If GDP is growing around 2% and inflation's running around 2%, then you should have at least a 4% 10-year treasury yield. And that's, about where we are. So we're on the low end of where we should be. But that's totally different from the way things have been. Another big shift that I think that we're headed for in the coming years, and is what we've seen just recently over the last couple years, is that we're going to have a whole lot more geopolitical instability. The relative peace that we've seen in the developed nations over the last, 40 or more years, I think is coming not necessarily to an end, but it's not as guaranteed and sure as it had been. And along with that threat of hot wars is also a return to a Cold War era, which again has not been the case since like 1991 when the Soviet Union imploded. That Cold War tension and geopolitical risk and uncertainty is returning in a way that we haven't seen for more than 30 years. And along with that is the stability and the deflation that's come out of China over these last at least 25 to 30 years. At least since China entered the World Trade Organization, and if not, 5 or 10 years before that, we've seen a great deal of industrialization move to China, and that resulted in a flood of cheap products into the developed worlds, developed economies. Well, that's not the case for several reasons now, one of which is that China's labor force is aged, and they no longer have the demographics to have the low-cost labor that they had 30, 40 years ago. All that's going to mean that inflation is likely going to be higher, and higher inflation doesn't necessarily mean hyperinflation, but it means pesky, annoying inflation that's definitely at the higher levels than we've seen over this, moderation of inflation over the last 20 years. All that is also good news for North America, because we have the workforce and the technology and the energy sources, and we're building and increasing the manufacturing capacity, which I think is going to counteract a lot of the negatives, and thus is again a reason for my long-term cynical optimism. Okay, I digressed. Here's the bottom line. Thinking about moving beyond money markets means that in the coming 3 months or so, we're no longer going to have access to 5% plus guaranteed, absolutely safe money market returns. So it's probably a good time to start looking for dividend paying stocks that are paying, say, around 4% rate of return on dividends. Or, if you're going to go lower than that, at least picking good quality dividend paying companies that have that rate of around 4%, but also have long-term growth prospects. There's plenty of stocks out there in that category. Another area that I think that it makes sense to start looking at is technology, and specifically robotics and artificial intelligence. Now, for some reason, a lot of people thought that I'm anti-artificial intelligence and such. Well, I'm not at all. If you go back to 2016, I wrote a book about it. I think that the best area to always invest in is technology because that's always where the growth is. But as I dedicated the whole fourth section of my book to thinking like an investor and not like a speculator, you don't want to rush into the bleeding edge of technology and just go throw your money after stocks or after opportunities that don't make sense. Think about all the enthusiasm around electric vehicles. Look at the Inflation Reduction Act and all the money that's pouring into EVs. Well, how's that working out? And I'm not being negative on electric vehicles. I think electric vehicles make a lot of sense where they make sense. But if you went out and threw your money into Tesla just because you thought it was the next hottest best thing, well, look at where that stock is today compared to where it was a couple years ago. Now, the reason I say that it may be time to start looking at some of these advanced technologies now and things like artificial intelligence and robotics is because some of the enthusiasm is starting to come out of that market. And as reality sets in and some of the hype comes out of the market, things get repriced and opportunities start to emerge because risk-reward ratios start to make more sense. Look at technology companies broadly, whether you're talking about artificial intelligence or robotics or cybersecurity or cloud computing or whatever. Some big names, some really favored stocks from Wall Street have had major price adjustments, and maybe, just maybe, some of these are good buys right now. Look at Snowflake. It's down over 30% from its 52-week high. And hey, when I talk about these 52-week highs and you hear me give you some of these numbers, that doesn't mean that's how much these stocks are down from their peaks. It just means how far they're down from their peak over the last year. Look at a stock like Tesla. On a 52-week basis, Tesla's down by like 43%. But it's worse because Tesla peaked back in November of 2021. And from that peak, Tesla's down a good 50%. So keep that in mind when I run through these numbers. But Palo Alto Networks, a fantastic stock, a fantastic company. Guess what? Down about 25% from its 52-week high. And Adobe, down about 22%. And Advanced Micro Devices, down about 21%. How about Supermicro Computer? Remember that name? How excited everybody is with its skyrocketing and, you know, being added to the S&P 500? Yeah, right now down about 21% from its high. And the list goes on and on with old stodgy tech names as, you know, well as the new ones like the Supermicro Computer. Intel, which probably has fantastic long-term opportunities as far as a U.S.-based, U.S.-favored semiconductor manufacturer. Guess what? Down 17%. Cloudflare, again, one of the hottest stocks over the last couple years, down, again, almost 17%. Fortinet down also about 16%. Cisco and Dell both also down the double digits, around 14%. Here's another one. Remember Shopify? How on fire that was during the pandemic? Well, if you liked it then, maybe you'll like it now. It's down 14% or more from its recent 52-week high. And even the immaculate Apple, down almost 14% just over the last couple weeks. So I think there's beginning to be some very good buying opportunities in technology as well as just large brand name blue chip type stocks overall. And I'm going to run through a list here. Don't be confused and think that I'm saying that I'm going to run out and buy these. I'm just giving you an example of what's on sale and what big name companies have had recent price adjustments. Every one of these companies I'm going to mention is down by at least 20%. Nike, UPS, Boeing, Starbucks, Estee Lauder, Lululemon, General Mills, Archer Daniel Midland, United Airlines, Southwest Airlines, Etsy. Listen, my point here is that, as always, there are opportunities to be had. And over these next couple, 2 or 3 months, I'd encourage you to be very patient and thoughtful and assess what areas of the market you want to move into. My point is, opportunities abound, as they always do. for people that are prepared and willing to take advantage of opportunities as they present themselves. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing, and I encourage you to do the same. And so until then, as always, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best returns.